Hello and welcome back to Equity Tutors. Today's lesson is going to be finishing off the topics that we haven't yet covered, and this will be a bit more specific for certain exam boards as they differ a little bit. So we're just trying to get everything from the first couple of modules of AS covered before we go out for a winter break over Christmas. So today we're going to be talking about a few different things. So I'm going to be covering, first of all, cells and their specialisation into tissues and organ systems, and then also go over a little bit extra of stem cells that's needed for one or two of the exam boards. I know this is quite a lot, so I will get started on today's lesson straight away. So the first thing we're going to talk about today is cell specialisation and how this is important in multicellular organisms. In complex multicellular organisms, so that means organisms that have more than one cell, the eukaryotic cells become more specialised, and this means that they can perform specific functions. So again, when we think about the human body, we know that cells on your skin are different to the cells in your heart, for example. And as you can see with that example, the specialised cells in a multicellular organism can look really different from each other, and they have different structural adaptations to allow them to perform their specific functions. So this can be the shape of the cell and also the different organelles that the cell will contain and the quantity of the organelles that it contains. One thing to remember is that all the cells in your body do contain the same DNA. However, the genes that are expressed in each cell may be slightly different because we don't turn on all the genes in every single cell in our body, and this is what allows the different cells within the body to have different specializations and functions. I'm going to now go through a range of different cells that look very different to each other and exactly how they are specialized for their function. So the first one I'm going to look at is erythrocytes, and these are also known as red blood cells, and these are the cells that transport oxygen in your blood, and they're what gives it the red color. So the function of the erythrocytes is to transport oxygen around the body. Some of their features that make them specialized for this job is that they don't have a nucleus, which means that there's more space within the cells to carry the oxygen. They also have a molecule called hemoglobin in their cytoplasm, and this is what actually binds to the oxygen to allow the oxygen to be transported around the body, and you'll learn more about that in later modules. They also have a biconcave disc shape, which kind of means they're flat with a dip in the middle, and this gives them a large surface area to volume ratio, which again we're going to cover the importance of that in a later module. But what this means is that these red blood cells are able to carry a lot of oxygen, and these features of it are the way that these are specialised to perform their function. The next specialised cell I'm going to talk about are root hair cells, and these are found in plants. And these cells are found in the root of the plant, as their name suggests, and they have a really long protrusion called the root hair. So you'll understand this better if you look at the visual document or the YouTube video, but the important thing with this is that they have this long protrusion, and this increases the surface area of the cell. And the function of these root hair cells is to absorb water and nutrients from the soil and bring it into the plant. So the larger the surface area, the larger the surface area that is available for absorption, and this means that the plant root hair cells can absorb more water and nutrients from the soil, and this is better for the plant. So they also contain a lot of mitochondria, and these are able to provide the energy that these cells need for active transport. And again, we will discuss active transport in some later modules, but basically these cells need to pull water into the cell, so in order to do that they need to use active transport, which requires energy. So to do that, these cells contain a lot of mitochondria. The next cell we're going to speak about is the sperm cell. So This is important for the rest of the lesson as we're going to be talking about fertilisation shortly and reproduction in general. So some of the ways that the sperm cell is specialised is, I think we all know the general structure of a sperm cell, and it has this long tail which is characteristic of the sperm cell, and this is called an ungulipodium, which moves to allow the sperm to swim and move. And it also contains at the top of the tail there are a lot of mitochondria, and this allows the energy to be released to help move the tail and propel the cell. Another feature of the sperm cell that makes it specialized is that its head contains an acrosome, which is a specialized kind of lysosome, which, if we remember from our previous lessons, this means it contains lots of enzymes. And these enzymes in the acrosome allow the sperm cell to break down the coating around the egg and allow the sperm to enter into the egg and allow for fertilisation. So moving on from this, another cell is guard cells. And guard cells are a type of plant cell. This will all make a bit more sense once we've gone over the structure of plants and more of plant biology in later modules. But the function of the guard cell is to surround the stoma, which is a hole in between the guard cells, and this hole is what allows water loss and gas exchange into and out of the plant. So the ways that the guard cells function is they surround this hole, and as they get flaccid or turgid, so like soft or hard, they change shape, and this allows the stoma to open or close. And the way that these cells are adapted and specialised for this function is that their inner cell walls are thicker than their outer cell walls, and the outer cell walls are quite thin, and this difference in the thickness of the two cell walls allows the cell to bend when it's turgid. And the other specialisation, so this allows for the stoma to be open and closed depending on the how turgid the guard cells are. And then also the cytoplasm has a high density of chloroplasts and mitochondria, which is thought to be important in allowing these cells to open and close the stoma. So the next one I'm going to talk about are the palisade cells, which are cells which carry out photosynthesis within the plant. And the way that these are adapted is that they have a large number of chloroplasts, as these are the sites of photosynthesis. And in the palisade cells, there are large numbers of these chloroplasts in the cytoplasm to allow for the maximum absorption of light and for photosynthesis. And the shape of the cells is also specialised, so these cells are really tall and thin, and this allows light to penetrate deeply into the cell, and this allows the light to penetrate into the cell without it encountering another cell wall. So it again allows for better absorption of light. Back onto another human cell, we have the neutrophils, and neutrophils are a type of immune cell. Again, we're going to cover the immune system in a later module as well, but the ways that, so the function of neutrophils is to engulf and destroy pathogens, and they do this by a process called phagocytosis, which means basically eating up any of the pathogens that they encounter. And the way that these cells are adapted for this function is that they have a very flexible shape, which allows them to fit through the junctions in the capillary walls to allow them to go in and out of the blood. This also lets them form protrusions and engulf the pathogen when it sees it. And the main adaptation of these cells is that they have a large number of lysosomes. If you remember, lysosomes contain digestive enzymes. These large number of digestive enzymes are important because they help to break down and destroy any of the pathogens that the neutrophil has engulfed. Additionally, they also have a multi-lobed nucleus, so this allows the cell to also be very flexible as well. And finally, let's have a look at ciliated epithelium. Ciliated epithelium are cells that have cilia on them, and they form, so those are hair-like projections that come out of the cell. And the epithelium is the outer layer of any surface. So the ciliated epithelium have the function of moving substances across the surface of a tissue. So the ways that these cells are specialized is that they have the cilia, which can beat in a coordinated fashion to help move substances along. So we have these in our throat, which help move mucus and things up away from our lungs. Another specialization is that they are next to goblet cells. So these goblet cells secrete mucus, and this helps to trap dust and other microorganisms, and then this mucus can then get wafted away by the cilia. So as you can see, for each of these, you only need to think about what the cell is trying to do, and then you can work out exactly how it is specialized for that function. And again, from all of those, there is a big difference, you know, in a sperm cell compared to a neutrophil. So the way that cells are specialized does make a really big difference in how they look. Okay, great. So now let's go on to how these individual cells go on and form tissues, organs, and organ systems. In multicellular organisms, cells group together in different ways. So specialized cells of the same type group together to form tissues, and tissues are a group of cells where the cells work together to perform a particular function. So an example of this would be that muscle cells group together to form muscle tissue, which function is to contract to move the different body parts. Then we have tissues can make up organs. So we have different tissues can work together. So remember, tissues are made up of the same cell type, but organs can be made up of different cell types. So in an organ, different tissues work together to form an organ. And an example of an organ would be the heart, and it's made up of different tissues. So it has cardiac muscle tissue, blood vessels, as well as connective tissues. And the different organs can then come together to form organ systems. So for example, we have the digestive system. So that has like the stomach, the large intestine, the small intestine, etc. So that comes together to form an even larger organ system, which have a bigger function to perform. Some examples of tissues that it's important for you to know about are squamous and ciliated epithelia. So ciliated epithelia, as we've already talked about, the function of these is moving substances across the surface of a tissue. Then we have squamous epithelium, and these provide a surface covering to an organ, and they have a very thin diameter, so they're very flattened, and they have a basement membrane, and the thin cross section means that substances don't have very far to pass through, so that the diffusion pathway is reduced, and it's also very permeable to allow easy diffusion of gases. Another type of tissue you need to know about are muscle cells. So the function of muscle cells is contraction to allow for movement. And there are different types of muscle tissue in animals. So we have skeletal, smooth, and cardiac. So cardiac means of the heart. And the way that muscle cells are structured is they have layers of protein filaments which can contract, and these layers can slide over each other and cause the cells to contract. And they also have large numbers of mitochondria to provide the energy for this to happen. And in skeletal muscle tissue, all these individual cells fuse together and they create a multinucleated cell that can contract all at the same time, so in unison. Then we also have some tissue types that are found in plants. So we have the xylem vessel. So xylem vessel cells, their function is transporting water and dissolved ions throughout the plant. So The way that these cells are specialised is that they actually don't have a top and bottom cell wall. So this allows the cells to form a continuous hollow tube so that water can be drawn upwards towards the leaves from the roots. They also don't contain any organelles or cytoplasm, which allows water to move through the lumen of the cells. And they also have a very thick outer wall to strengthen the tube. And then finally, the other type of vessel in plants is the phloem vessel cells. So these are similar to xylem in the fact that it forms tubes. However, they do have slightly different function and slightly different structure. So the function of the phloem is to transport sugars and amino acids throughout the plant. And the adaptations are that they are supported by companion cells and that they are joined end to end, but they do actually have cell walls at the end. So the cell walls at the end do have holes in them, and these are called sieve plates. So this allows things to move up and down the phloem. However, it's not quite as freely as in the xylem. So it allows sugars and amino acids to move through, but there is something blocking free movement completely. And these cells are also very simple and they don't have many organelles in them, which allows for their function to form this tube structure. This next part of the lesson is specific to the OCR exam board. So if you are not using this exam board, then feel free to skip past this bit. So I'm now going to just talk about some specific examples of stem cells in animals and plants in the adults. So I know we went over stem cells a couple of lessons ago, but this is going to be a bit of a more specific on how some of these cells are used to form specialized cells within our body. So the first thing we're going to look at are stem cells in the bone marrow. And as we talked about in my last lesson, bone marrow contains multipotent adult stem cells, which means that they can only differentiate into a certain number of cells. And in this case, the bone marrow can only differentiate into erythrocytes, which are the red blood cells, monocytes, neutrophils, and lymphocytes. And again, you will learn more about these cell types later on when we go over the immune system in later lessons. So we're going to go over two examples here of how the bone marrow stem cells can form different cells. So we're going to look at erythrocytes, and we're also going to look at how it forms neutrophils. So the way that bone marrow forms erythrocytes is, as we've already talked about earlier in the lesson, the function of erythrocytes is to transport oxygen around the body. And as we said then, these cells actually lack a nucleus. And because of this, they can't divide, meaning that new erythrocytes are constantly being needed to be produced from the stem cells and the precursor cells in the bone marrow, because the erythrocytes themselves cannot actually divide because they don't have a nucleus. The process of forming new erythrocytes is known as erythropoiesis, and poiesis on the end of anything means production, and it has several stages. So the multipotent stem cell divides and it forms a pro-erythrocyte. And at this point, now the cell is now programmed to become a erythrocyte and it can't now become anything else. So it's turned off genes that are needed to form any other cell type. So it has to now form a erythrocyte. So the next thing that happens is that hemoglobin builds up within the cell. So remember, we need hemoglobin in these cells to transport the oxygen around the body. And then once the hemoglobin has built up in the cytoplasm, the nucleus is ejected from the cell. So remember, erythrocytes do not have a nucleus. And then this cell keeps on maturing and goes on to form a mature erythrocyte. And this has, remember, no nucleus and is full of hemoglobin, and also has this biconcave shape to allow for a larger surface area for oxygen absorption. The next one that we're going to look at that comes from bone marrow stem cells are neutrophils. Again, Again, we went over this earlier in the lesson on how these cells are specialized. So remember, they have lots of enzymes to break down any pathogens, and they also have a lobed nucleus and a very flexible shape, which allows them to engulf any pathogens that they might encounter, and that is their function. So the function of a neutrophil is they are the first white blood cell that arrives at an infection site, and they
engulf any pathogens that they see. The way that neutrophils are formed is that they also come from the same precursors in the bone marrow that the erythrocyte comes from. However, they have some different things that happen to them in the process of them becoming specialized. So they have indentations that form within the nucleus, which gives it its lobe structure. And also with the erythrocytes, hemoglobin accumulated within the cell. In the neutrophils, granules, which contain lysosomes, accumulate in the cell, which allows the neutrophil to perform its function. Now we're going to go on and have a look at how some plant tissues form from their stem cells in the meristem. So if you go back to the lessons previously, I talked about meristem and how this is the equivalent to stem cells. And if you remember, I said that we call this meristem cambium. And this is the term that we use to describe any undifferentiated tissue in a plant that can give rise to new cells. So if we think of it this way, the cambium is a type of meristem. So we also have meristem at the root and shoot tips, like I talked about last time. But one thing that the cambium does, this specific type of meristem, is that it goes on to form the xylem and phloem vessels. So the way that this happens is that in the roots and the stem cells at the inner edge of the cambium differentiate into xylem cells, and the ones that are at the outer edge of the cambium differentiate into phloem cells. The cambium, when they go on to form xylem, they lose their cytoplasm. They deposit lignin in their cell walls, which is what makes them very stable, and they lose the cell walls on either end of their cell. However, when the cambium differentiates into phloem, it loses some of its cytoplasm, but not all, and it also loses some of its organelles, but again, not all, and also it develops these sieve plates at the end of either end of the cell. And this differentiation is stimulated by hormones, and this affects whether it's xylem or phloem that's produced. So I would definitely say to go and have a look at the visuals of this to kind of understand what I mean from the inner and the outer edge, and which go on to form the xylem and which go on to form the phloem. That is it for today's lesson. So just to recap, we went over how different cells within the body are specialized to perform different functions. We also spoke about how these specialized cells within multicellular organisms go on to form tissues, organs, and organ systems. And then we also had a bit more of a specific look at some cell types and how they are formed from stem cells. So we've now covered the first couple of modules of AS, and we're now going to go on a Christmas break, but we will be back in 2023. So make sure you remember to check our social media to check when those new lessons are out, and we'll be going over some different modules then.
Thank you so much for listening. Remember, you can access additional content on our Patreon page by searching for Equity Tutors, where we have a second 30-minute lesson every week, plus monthly bonus content. You can also find us on most social media platforms. We will keep you updated on new content, and you can find us there by searching for Equity Tutors UK. Please like, share, subscribe, and comment wherever you are listening. And if you're enjoying, please leave a review.
Bye.